Once again, it's my privilege to be your speaker this morning. For some that were here the last time I spoke that are thinking I'm the only speaker here, I'm not, but you happen to be here at the same time that I'm on a schedule, so apologize that you have to just hear me. We have some very good teachers here. This morning, I want to look at the question, which church? And I think many of us know what this is about. It's a very fundamental, basic lesson. And it's derived from me looking at some blogs on the internet, some things people wrote, some videos on YouTube about why people have left the Church of Christ, why I have left the Church of Christ, as they would phrase it. And I looked at and analyzed what some of the reasons were. And I didn't want to approach it dealing with each and every one of those reasons, because many of them are subjective. Many of them are really because those people that left in some of those situations, it was because of a social aspect of the church that they went to, or the teaching wasn't quite proper. There was just something askew about it. And if you listen to their words, a lot of it's emotional. Some underlying feelings that I got from them is that they really didn't want to be there. They were raised that way, and they just kind of wanted to get out in the world. And there was just so many various reasons. I want to approach it positively, and of course, it will offend some people if they are members of other churches. That's not my intention, but the Bible does do that if you positively affirm, as Jesus himself affirmed, some things that are scriptural about the Bible concerning the church. And we'll read Matthew 16 and verse 18, a very simple verse there, as we find the beginning to our lesson here of how we should understand this properly. In Matthew 16, 18 on page 1131, "And I say also, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We find that after Peter made this confession that Jesus was the Christ, because there were many various ideas of who he really was, and Peter recognized him as the Messiah, and built on that confession, Jesus says that he would build his church based on that truth, recognizing Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, is the builder of the church. He's the cornerstone. He's the rock. And so I'm going to give a positive affirmation as to why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I came out of denominational groups, some experimentation there of going to different denominations to find which ones would be the right church, which church, because I was told at the time, before I really had much understanding of what the Bible actually said, the saying back then, as you may not hear it as much today, is which church should I join? And so that was a question in my mind, which church should I join and how do I determine that? Well, I want to notice something that Jesus said before I go any farther. And it's a very fundamental, basic thing that I think that will drive our lesson. That this point, if you keep it in your mind, I think we'll have a better appreciation and understanding of the church and why we shouldn't take it for granted as we compare in this lesson with all the denomination and churches that exist. In John chapter 17, on page 1245, John chapter 17, verse 20, this is the prayer of Jesus. This is something that was very dear to his heart. Listen to his words, John 17, 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus' prayer for his disciples, for all who would believe after his disciples, for those who would believe the Bible based on the writing of the apostles, his prayer was that we would be one, that all believers would be one, the same unity that he had with the Father. So keeping this prayer in mind, we can ask some questions. Which church is right? Which church is biblical? That is a scriptural identity. Which one has a scriptural identity? Which church should I join? Which church is going to heaven? The question goes on and on. But I want to bring it to a summary here of why I'm a member of the church, and I'm going to give some reasons toward the end as time allows. I have more reasons than time. But first I want to set up how this came about in me understanding that the Church of Christ is the right church, not only for me, but for everybody. When I was studying the Bible and I was slowly becoming a member of the Church of Christ, that is, I had to think about it. I had to decide. I didn't do it automatically. I studied with some Church of Christ members for about a year, two of them. I had a lot of questions because emotionally I didn't want to leave the Nazarene church that I was a part of. I had invested time and energy, and I knew the people there for quite a while. And I didn't just want to leave right away. So I wanted to make sure, after going through several denominations and landing there, that I was not going to join another denomination and just leave the people there that I really had a lot of respect for. Well, a Baptist tract came out. I don't remember the author right now, but he was either the president or vice president of the Del City Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church in Oklahoma. And the tract that I found said, you don't have to be a member of the church to be saved. And it had his name, the author, and it had a phone number. So I called that to discuss that issue with him. And after I identified myself, my name, and I said, I'd like to ask you why you believe that. I've read your tract, but I don't agree that the Bible teaches what you're teaching, that you don't have to be a member of the church to be saved. And he said, first of all, let me ask you something. He said, are you a member of the Church of Christ? And I said, yes. I said, how did you know that? He said, because you're the only ones that called me about this track. Apparently no one else was too interested in it. We didn't get too far there, but I'll give you an illustration before I move on. Back in the old days, my days when I was younger, a lot of preachers would travel on buses, Greyhound buses, to go places they didn't have the car ownership as we do now, and so they would travel around the country, and one of these preachers was on a bus and he saw a lady that was passing out tracts, or trying to, and she was trying to sell them, because back then a lot of people sold religious tracts and it didn't go too far. The Jehovah Witnesses were known for that, the Watchtower tracts they used to sell, and once the Watchtower Society decided that they weren't selling, they made the members buy their own tracts and give them out for free. So when someone gives you one in a parking lot at Walmart or wherever that's a Jehovah Witness, they pay for that out of their own pocket to fund the Watchtower Society. But this lady was handing out Pentecostal tracts. And this Church of Christ preacher was observing her and watching her, and he was feeling somewhat sympathetic that no one was interested in them or especially buying them. So when she came near him, he said, lady, he said, let me talk to you a second. He said, I'll buy every one of those tracts that you have right now if you do one thing for me. She said, what is that? He said, just put a simple sign in your churchyard. This is the Church of Christ. And she thought about that for a minute. She said, well, we are the Church of Christ, but we're not the Church of Christ. She said, I just can't do it. You see, that little story really illustrates the differences between all denominations today and the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ can say, we are the Church of Christ. The church that belongs to the builder, Matthew 16:18, that honors his name. It's very simple, but you find a lot of people that will reinterpret that and say, it doesn't really mean that you have to do that, or you're really creating division when you say that and you do that and you choose one particular name. But whenever you stay with the scripture, and we're going to show how the scripture proves this is to be true, that little story really illustrates what denominations cannot do today. They cannot call themselves the Church of Christ if they aren't the Church of Christ. They refuse that name because they know that there is a certain doctrine, a way of teaching, worship, and practice that goes along with it. And so they don't use that name. And we'll notice why they use the name they do. So let me ask you, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Or whatever church you belong to, why do you call yourself a member? You know, we can read in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, try your own selves, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. So God does not want me to take it for granted that I'm saved. He wants me to examine my life every day to make sure I'm doing what is right, what He wants me to do, what is according to His will. Because why be a member of the church if you're not going to study God's will concerning it? It came from Jesus. He's the builder. It's blood bought. It's His. It belongs to Him. The best thing to do is honor Him. Paul also said, which we learned in our study Wednesday night when Chad taught, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. We should all be careful when we think we're saved if we haven't examined ourselves to prove ourselves, to test ourselves. And the thing that we do it against is God's own word. In Romans 2:16 and 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, the idea is given. To whom will you give account of the day in the day of judgment? Well, it's going to be each soul is going to be accountable by means of the gospel or through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Glenn Osborne always says there will be a test. Yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, the test is really now, here and now. If you fail or pass the test, your grade is going to be given, is the way I would put it, because I don't think there's much more to say. It's all after what you've done here. And the gospel is the only standard of judgment that the Bible gives us. It's not going to be what men say or how we feel about the church or what we think. God's not interested in that. So it makes a whole lot of sense to do what the gospel teaches in any matters regarding the church. So that's the basic answer. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because the Church of Christ does what the gospel says to do. This is the only reason that anyone should be a member of any church. Now, when I was in the Nazarene church, we had a Nazarene manual. And I went there with my Bible when I first was studying, and they were nice people. And I liked the programs that they had for the young kids and the older people and the way they taught, because I wasn't very well versed in the Bible, so it sounded good to me. But the pastor came to me one day and he said, "You need to read this." And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's the church, the Nazarene, it's a manual to teach you how to become a Nazarene." And I found that odd. As I looked at it and read it, I brought it back to him a while later. And I said, "This doesn't match with the Bible. Yes, it's teaching me to be a Nazarene, but it's not teaching me how to be a Christian. And that's all the Bible does." We at the Church of Christ don't have manuals or creed books or books to tell us how to be a Christian other than the Bible. And if you think about it, men have said it better than me before. The Bible only makes Christians only and the only Christians. It doesn't make Christians that have a suffix or a prefix. It's Christians that honor Christ. And if you have a manual, a creed book, and if it says any more than the Bible, it says too much. If it says any less than the Bible, it doesn't say enough. If it says the same thing as the Bible, why do you need it? And so those things caused me to think, you know, the Church of Christ is very logical in its teaching. Now, people are people. There were good people at that Nazarene church, and there were some that were shady. Just like in the church, not all members of the Church of Christ are members spiritually. Some people join themselves to the Church of Christ, and if they haven't obeyed the gospel, they are members only in a physical way that the Bible doesn't really recognize. To be a member is to be added by Jesus Christ. So which church do I join? Well, you can only join yourself physically to a local congregation of the Church of Christ. Spiritually, Jesus adds you to His church. So there is no spiritual determination on your part unless you're not obeying the gospel. Then you can join any church that you want. And so it doesn't matter there, because that will not be the right one. So what is it that the Church of Christ does that the gospel says the church should do? Well, first and foremost, if you haven't gotten it, the Church of Christ honors the name of Christ. You know, many churches today claim to honor the name of Christ, but the signs on their buildings honor men. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:10 and 13, "Any name that honors anyone other than the one who was crucified for your salvation is a name that is not worth keeping." So any other name besides Christ, how does it honor Christ? You know, Martin Luther, who was the founder of the Lutherans, they claim him, said, "Don't call yourselves Lutherans. I didn't die for you. Christ did." John Wesley, who the founder of the Methodist Church, said pretty much the same thing. "Don't call yourselves Wesleyans," which later became Methodists. "Christ is the one to call yourselves after." And I'm paraphrasing what those said, but you can go to their own websites. And it seems like those things just, they don't get it. It's right there. The information is there. But how do they miss it? Well, I think there's a lot of emotion in why people choose a church that they go to. Parents, it's the way they don't want to leave their spouse or their parent or have turmoil, so they make those kind of decisions. We see a lot of churches today that are named after the Apostle Paul or Peter. Of course, the Pope is supposedly the ones that are after Peter. Peter was considered by them, the Catholic Church, to be the first Pope, although the scriptures have said nothing about that. Some name themselves after John or some other great man. How many churches today do you see named after some city or place mentioned in the New Testament? The apostle clearly said to do otherwise. In Philippians 2 and 9, he's, the name honors the name which is above all names. And we know that there is no other name whereby one is to be saved. And so that name is pretty simple. It's the name of Christ or the Messiah. It's the Messiah Jesus. Well, secondly, the Church of Christ seeks to make Christ the standard of authority for all matters in our life, and especially our spiritual life. Maybe someone said that's the way we've always done it, or what my mother or father taught me, or the preacher said, or that's what our creed or my opinion is. When's the last time you've heard a denominational person say, "The Bible says, the scriptures teach, the New Testament authorizes, or thus saith the Lord"? That's usually something a Church of Christ member says. Now, yes, we do hear each other say that, and we can sometimes put it a better way, but what way is there better than the scriptural way to say it? And many times that's the right way to say it. You know, there's a lot of difference in the thinking of the first thing that I said about the statements. The statements in the first section are subjective, relative, changing, mutable, dependable, and not dependable for one's eternal salvation. But the statements in the second part are permanent, unchanging, objective, eternal, and will go on forever. So which type of statement is the will of Jesus for his church? It is, of course, the second one. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." I'm a member of the Church of Christ because the Church of Christ believes in one standard for the one faith, Ephesians 4, 5, and Jude 3. Thirdly, the Church of Christ honors the plan that God gave for salvation. If you look at the process of salvation given by Jesus in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you come to this undeniable conclusion that there's five things that have to occur before one can claim salvation. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that. A lot of people have long ago substituted baptism, for example, with the sinner's prayer. But you don't find that in the New Testament. You find everything but that, everything that's opposite of that. How many times do you find baptism in the conversions of the book of Acts? Faith alone is in the negative. Faith alone cannot save anyone. You must have some spiritual works, the works of God, not human works, not works of merit, but the works that God told us to do, which are right. So a person must hear the gospel of Christ. That's a requirement, Matthew 28, 19, Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 47, John 20, 30, and 31. Secondly, a person must believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a requirement, Mark 16, 16, John 20, 30, and 31. Third, a person must repent of sins before coming to Christ, Luke 24, 47. Matthew 10, 32 talks about a person that must confess Jesus, verse 32 and 33. And then fifth, a person must be born of water and of the Spirit by being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, John 3:5, Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16. Now we're all familiar with those. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Those are markers that identify us as the Church of Christ. They're very scriptural, they're very simple, but there's a lot of people in denominations that you bring those up. They, of course, disagree because they don't practice that. One person was so excited one time at work, and he was telling me he became a Christian. And I said, really, when did you obey the gospel? And he said, obey? What are you talking about? Obey the gospel. He'd never heard that. So when I gave him some verses, he said, I've never seen that. No one mentioned any of that. So he had to go and study that because that kind of put a damper on what he thought he had accomplished. So this is Christ's plan. He tells us to search the scriptures, try your own selves, whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it honors the plan that Christ gave for salvation. There's many other things that I could say, but I just want to quickly move on. Do you know how many denominations there are? In the United States, worldwide, as I looked, a number kept coming up, 33,000. Denominations. Now that sounded like a lot, but I started looking at why they said that. Well, if you look at the independents, who are independent, and all of these come from the Protestant denomination branch. You know, the Catholics came after the Church of Christ, AD 33. We have the original date in the Bible when Jesus Christ established his church in Acts 2. Any church that has a different date of origin, that's a red flag. If they don't have AD 33 as their date of origin, according to Acts 2, Peter's sermon about Christ dying, buying the church with his own blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, you've got a problem right there. Now, the independents have 22,000 different denominations within themselves. Protestants, 9,000. The marginal, 1,600. Orthodox, 781 different denominations. Roman Catholics, 242 different denominations. Anglicans, 168 different denominations. The list goes on and on. That's how they came up with 33,000. So I said, oh, okay. Because many denominations disagree with each other. And so they all have different variations of what they believe and teach. Now, we come from the Restoration Movement. And you can trace our history in the 1800s when that was coming about. That doesn't mean that's the origin of the church. That just means the origin of the Restoration Movement by certain men who came out of denominations. Stone Campbell Movement and so forth. I've had people come up to me. One fellow I was studying with, he was getting kind of down because he's a preacher of the Preach Unto Them Jesus Church in Oklahoma City, and we were studying the Bible, things that he never really studied. And he was getting a little down because I guess he felt he was losing the fight. He was going to have to make some changes he didn't want to make. And one day he was all happy and he said, what about Alexander Campbell? I said, what about him? That's where you came from. I said, no, I didn't. Alexander Campbell came out of denominationalism. One of the books that you wrote, this person wrote a book about denominations. I said, you should have read about him. No, he became a Christian out of denominationalism, just like you should do. And so his little plan backfired. He didn't really have much more to say because he didn't know anything about Alexander Campbell. Someone just told him. That's where the churches of Christ come from, which is a myth. The churches of Christ come from Jesus. That is, if we're restoring ourselves to New Testament Christianity, then we have that right to say it. So there's only really two churches that came out of the Restoration Movement, the Churches of Christ and the Christian Church. Now, I went to a Christian church as I was looking for denominations. Some friends of mine invited me to their church. I can't remember exactly. The man might have called himself the pastor, but he was the preacher regardless there. And I carried my Bible in there, and he stopped me at the door, introduced himself, and he said, are you a preacher? And I was about 19, 20 years old, and I said, no, just studying the Bible. He goes, well, most people don't bring their Bible. You brought a Bible. He said, I thought you might be a preacher. So I thought, well, I've stepped into something a little bit different here. What I noticed about them, and this is subjective to that one place in Wetumpka, Oklahoma, is they had an American flag, and they had a Christian flag. So a big difference that they have, calling themselves Christian Church, the Disciples of Christ, is they're very patriotic in their singing. Their songs are Americanized and patriotic, mixed with spiritual singing. So they've become a hybrid of sorts. And so they have some very big differences. So why am I a member of the Church of Christ? I'll give some reasons and bring this to a close. Some very basic ones. I don't want to take it for granted that all have heard this, because I know there's places that young people and children coming up haven't heard it yet. Many of us have heard these reasons. There's many good books if you want to read them. They're on the internet, very cheap, and there's even free PDFs and such to read about why I'm a member. I want to make it positive as Jesus made it positive, because his prayer was that we be one. Think about it. If a religious person out there really believes they're sincere and we're all going to heaven, regardless of which church you belong to, how do they fit that with Jesus' prayer that we all be one? How can you have unity when you teach different doctrines, when you have a different name that doesn't honor Christ, when you've replaced baptism with the sinner's prayer, when you've done so many things over time and your origin isn't even the right date, and the list goes on? How do they fit that with Jesus' prayer? When we have one cup in our worship, and I've said it many times, I've never found, of all those who disagree with us, that says it's unscriptural to do that. They just say, don't tell me I have to do that. And I say, I'm not. The Bible says to do it, that's why I'm doing it. Who's telling you to do what you do? Somebody is. So they're not listening to God. They're listening to someone else. They didn't come up with it on their own. It has its own history. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because that was Jesus' prayer in John 17:20. And God is not a God of confusion. God wanted one. He wanted unity. And that was Jesus' prayer. Denominations cause confusion. God planned the church before the creation of all things, the material world. He purposed it in his mind. The purpose of the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. That tract that I mentioned. The church, according to the Bible, was the manifold wisdom of God. He planned it before the foundation of the world. This preacher wrote that tract. You don't have to be a member of the church. Why? Because his denomination believes the church is plan B. Jesus failed on the cross. He wasn't the king of the Jews as the Jews wanted him to be. And so through that failure, plan B was the church. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. It was always plan A. It's blood-bought, and Jesus is the builder. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because Acts 20:28 says it's purchased with Jesus' blood. Therefore, we, together, but especially the elders, are to take heed to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made overseers. If a place doesn't have elders, they are to take heed for one another until they can get elders. But of course, the scriptural design is to have elders, and they are the overseers, they are the shepherds. And by the way, when you read presbyters, bishops, pastors, it's always plural, pastors, elders, plural. They're all synonyms for elders. So when a church says a pastor, that's not even scriptural, unless he's an elder and there's more than one. And of course, a lot of other things have to change. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 2:2-3, fulfilled in Acts 2. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because the church is the saved. It is made of a people. It's not a building. It's the people that are saved, the ecclesia, the called out ones. What are we called out of? Darkness, sin, the world, to come into his marvelous light, to be a part of the truth, to be a part of the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, one of the reasons I saw that people left the Church of Christ, whatever place they were at, was because they felt some of the members and teachers were telling them they needed to be perfect. The Bible doesn't tell you you need to be perfect in the way that they're thinking. The Bible does say we need to be perfect. Be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Bible says that. But it doesn't mean humanly perfect. It doesn't mean sinless, flawless, without mistakes, without stumbling. It means spiritually perfect, to be like your Father. And if you read that context in Matthew, it talks about love. Loving others the way that God loves us. Love your enemies. In the Old Testament, you would hate your enemies. In the New Testament, Jesus said to love your enemies. It's an unconditional love. It's learning how to be compliant or submissive to God's will. The way that God loves people, he wants us to love. And so it's talking about our justification. There's many verses about that, but I'll move on. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the body of Christ, and it represents one body, Ephesians 4. The problem with each denomination, they have a body of people that are members of one another, but not of each other. Denominations, they have their different names, different origins, different teachings, different practices, doctrines. The church is to be one body in name, doctrine, in teaching, in practice. So the Church of Christ, I'm a member of it because it is anti-denominational. Now, some people try to lump us, and of course, if you go to Wikipedia or other pages, they will call the Church of Christ a denomination. But that's a human way of looking at it because they're not really reading what the Bible says the definition should be. So the church is not a denomination that can be joined. You can't join it unless you do it physically and you're not doing it spiritually, so you're not really joining. You're just joining yourself in body only. If one joins a Church of Christ without obeying the Gospels, without obeying the gospel, it's not spiritual, so it's meaningless. Jesus adds you, Acts 2:47. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because Jesus is the founder of the Church of Christ. All denominations have men and women founders. The Church of Christ has Jesus only. He's the head of the church. The church is God's New Testament ark. That's why I'm a member of it. Remember in the Old Testament, Noah built one ark. God could have had him build, and I hear the population was in the millions. I don't know how many people. Scholars try to figure that out. If it was, there was a lot more arks needed if it was the purpose of rescuing people in an ark. To me, I've always read the story that it was one ark because the message was to repent and there wouldn't be the flood. You didn't really need all the arks. But there was one ark and a few were saved. That is eight. So if you've wondered what a few is, the Bible says it's eight. Eight were saved. How many is going to be saved in the church? The Bible says that few. It's a narrow road. It's not going to be a lot. Out of all the billions, respectively, it just won't be that many, and I want to be one of those. You can read about the church in the Bible. That's why I'm a member of it. Matthew 16:18, which we read. It's built on the rock. Isaiah 28:16, the foundation of bedrock. It's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Its organization is by the word of God. That's why I'm a member of it. It has elders. And its bishops and pastors are just simply synonymous terms with that. We have deacons, preachers, teachers, members, brothers and sisters, all of us in Christ. We don't have a clergy and laity. We don't have a separation like that. But we have men that meet qualifications to be shepherds. And that's scriptural. We have no reverend, cardinal, bishop, pope, pastor, or father. 1 Timothy 3, Titus and 1. Only God is to be called the Father, and he's the only one to be reverend. And the Bible usually associates the name Awesome with him. I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I'm almost done here, because all are saved, all are added, made members of, to it, by Jesus himself, Acts 2:47. It's made of the saved and only the saved. There aren't unsaved people in the church. There are Christians who may be in gray areas of their life, who may have sins they need to take care of, but it's made up of the saved. And the Bible tells us how to conduct ourselves as saved people. Well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because there's no salvation in any other name, any other church, Acts 4 and 12. If Jesus prayed that we be one in word and deed, which name honors him? The Church of Christ. It's the one he built. Therefore, it's the right name. I read some people say that the Church of Christ isn't even in the Bible. And I thought, how are they missing Romans 16:16? Paul himself said, the churches of Christ salute you. That old Roman way of saying the church recognizes you or says hello. The churches of Christ, plural, the congregations of Jesus Christ. You don't read any other name in the New Testament. Well, some might say the Church of God. That's okay, you can use that name, but God is not God's name. That's a term designating the deity. And so that's why we don't use that as a specific name. Christ specifies the Messiah. That's why we use Church of Christ. And of course, to differentiate ourselves from those who misuse Church of God. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is God's possession. It's blood bought, Acts 20 and 28. I'm a member because the church is the bride of Christ. If all denominations claim this, What name did they take as his bride? It seems they missed something. The Church of Christ is the bride of Christ. That name honors him. You know, there's a lot more I can say. There's many things you can read that just pretty much are going to say the same things I say, and they'll say them probably a lot better. But I'll just simply close with this idea. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because Christ is coming back for her. In Acts 1 and 11, it says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." 1 Corinthians 15:24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority and power." I'm a member of the Church of Christ because there's too many reasons to name that are so scriptural. It just puts to shame the reason why anyone would want to be a member of a denomination that aren't blood-bought, that has the wrong start date, that honors men and women, that has the wrong doctrine, and all the many other things we can say. I'm simply out of time, but hopefully this is to encourage you as to why you are a member of the Church of Christ. I encourage you to study it for yourself, to prove to yourself. I have no regret whatsoever of being a member of the Church of Christ. I regret the time that I wasted, but I don't know if it was a waste, because it taught me, out of all those denominations, how to compare spiritually, how to measure and use God's measuring rule, which is the Bible itself, to find the right way. I had help. I had some arguments. But I think that the Bible can help us all to find the right church. Which church should we join? Well, we join ourselves to a local congregation. Jesus adds you to the church. If you've obeyed the gospel, you're a member of the Church of Christ. If you're not, we ask that you would study it with someone if you're unsure. If you're ready to obey today, it's hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized to be a member of the Lord's church, a blood-bought church, the one that he's coming back for. We ask that you make things right as we stand and sing.